Amen, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I prayed that prayer this morning, told the Lord, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord like David. I always look forward to meeting with you all and having a, especially when we have a fellowship meal like today, special time together. And we can get to connect a little bit more as a body here. So, amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll read the first four verses here. It says, from verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that a blessing? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Back a number of years ago, it's about 11 years ago, my wife and I came home from the mission field. I was kind of broken down emotionally. And so we felt the need to come home. And it was over that time I was really battling with depression and discouragement and just feeling like, you know, is my life of any value yet? And it was over that time, soon after I came home, I kind of connected with a brother here, and he was a real blessing to my life over that time. And he kept telling me this phrase, and it sticks to me to this day, just over and over again. That phrase goes through my mind, because he told it to me over and over and over again. And that is a phrase in verse 6 where it says, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He kept telling me, Mel, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted. And that was an encouragement to my heart as I went through that dark time, that time of distress and trying to find my way after coming back from the field. I'd like to have the title of the message this morning is Being a Father and Mother to Your Young People. If you remember right, I'm kind of in a series of messages here, and I felt led to move in that direction. The first message I had was the need of the evident presence of God in our homes. And then the last one was on the marriage team, Aquila and Priscilla, that we're united together in our homes. That we're united together as husband and wife and as parents and leading out in our homes. Well, this next message here is being a father and mother to your young people. And I have another message that I like to preach concerning fathering and parenting your children. And I know this morning my wife and I don't have children, but I trust we have a little credibility with some of the young people we have in our home. And just simply because the Word of God, as I bring forth the Word of God to bear upon our hearts. You know, I'm a pastor. I still have responsibility despite not having children of our own. So I felt led to take this direction. But anyway, being a father and mother to your young people, I believe it's very important that your young people feel acceptance. That they feel that same spirit resonate their hearts. That I am accepted in my beloved parents. I'm accepted. That they feel that they sense that acceptance. They sense a full acceptance. They sense that they are fully loved and cared for and embraced in the hearts of you as parents. I just like to elaborate on this point a little. You know, this is of importance, I believe. You know, some may be at the place, some young people may be, and I see them. Some young people find their way in life despite coming from a difficult home situation, perhaps, and they're able to find that acceptance in the Lord at an early age and move on with their life. But others, for some reason or another, you know, they still need, and you know, we all know that young people are in the age of developing physically and mentally, emotionally. And most young people need that, how should I say, there's the need of acceptance. And they're looking for that. You know, and the last thing we want as parents, the last thing we want to see as parents is for them to go to wrong places and influence for acceptance. So I'd like to bring that to bear upon our hearts, that you as parents are at that place where they are feeling fully accepted. The security is there in their hearts that my parents accept me. My parents love me, care for me. You know, for young people, their peers sometimes and even their parents, things look big to young people. I mean, I've talked to young people. Things look big to them. I mean, to meet even with an elder is a big thing. You know, I remember when I was in the Amish youth group, that was the first youth group I went into after I became a young person. I was with the Amish youth, and I still remember being 16, and there was these 20, 21-year-olders in the youth group. Boy, they were big men. I mean, they were the big men of the youth group. I remember this one man, he was 27 years old. I mean, I thought, he's over the hill. I mean, he's into manhood. You know, and things are big to young people. And we need to realize that as parents, I believe that, you know, sometimes we may take for granted that they should be able to find their way in life and should be, and you know, they're professing, they're a Christian now, and they should be able to find their way in sensing that acceptance of the Lord and not, you know, that they're not at that place of instability and insecurity. But young people are young people, parents. They need your support. They need that sense of your full acceptance and nurture upon their hearts and lives. And often, Barb and I have counseled many young people. It's sad. Sometimes many young people, their view of God gets skewed and warped because they have had parents who haven't had, because of parents who perhaps haven't played their role in the home, and now the home is at a place of dysfunction, and they begin to get a warped view of their Heavenly Father. And this is why it's so important that we as parents are at a place where they feel loved, accepted, and where there's a sense of security, where there's not a threat or, how should I say, there's no threat of wrong response, even if they do wrong. Teenagers make mistakes. They falter, they fail, they stumble. But that there's not that threat of, they're not afraid of what's dad's response going to be. Is it going to be anger? Is it going to be criticism? Is it going to be his temper flaring up? Can they rest secure in the home? In you as parents who are parenting them, who are their covering, who are overseeing them, who are nurturing them. You know, I believe that that acceptance is there. It's a tremendous deterrent to them going after being accepted in other relationships that you would not desire them to have. It's a tremendous deterrent when they feel and sense that they're fully loved and accepted. Home needs to be a safe place, a haven where they can always trust mom and dad. Needs to be a safe place. They need to be able to look at their mom and their mother and father as pillars of the home. When they're struggling in their walk, in their Christian walk, or just with the daily activities of life, that there's always a place they can run to and feel like, here's mom and dad as my pillars, my pillar in the home. And they look to, and that's the security and safety and haven that our home should be. A healthy atmosphere of love and care. You know, and I just like to bring in this word nurture this morning. You know, I believe it's important to spend time with your teenagers in their formative years. I remember Brother Rick in a message he had at Ephrata years ago in the leadership seminar. He just expressed a time period when his teenagers were at a critical point. They began to question life, you know, began to question their parents' convictions. And it was very needful for Brother Rick was just bringing out the need of the hour, you know, is for the parents to be there and walk them through that time. I just remember our brother sharing, you know, how he was up till midnight sometimes. So wee hours, I mean, especially, you know, till the late night hours, just helping his teenagers through that time. Informing their own convictions. That it's not just a thing where they're hanging on to the parents' coattail. But they were at a place they were trying to realize, okay, why, what is the reason why my parents believe what they do? It's important in those formative years, in those years of developmental conviction in your young people, that you are there as parents, nurturing them, bringing them up in the nurture. The word nurture means tutorage, education or training, chastisement. And I'll bring the next message I'd like to preach is on the more on the admonition side of things. But this morning I'm going down the path of nurture, bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord, bringing them up, bringing them along in their Christian walk or if they're not at that place yet of even knowing Christ, that you're at that place where their conscience is being developed. We heard from our brother this morning the deep sin that can take place when there's a conscience that is not developed and it begins to become hardened, and then the path that can lead into. So don't neglect your young people and their, you know, if there's a clouded conscience, if there's a clouded faith, help them work through the issues using the Word of God. And I just want to encourage our hearts again this morning for you parents, for us parents, that we're at a place where we're partakers of the Word. The Word of God is burning in our hearts. We are filled with the Word of God. Like it says in Deuteronomy there, chapter 6, brings out, and maybe I'll just read those scriptures again, but it says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, one Lord." Now, and then it brings out the need of loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then he says furthermore, and this word, let me just open up to Deuteronomy 6. It says here, yes, "Hear, O Israel," verse 4, "the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." You know, that's where it starts, parents. It's not just passing information on to your children, on to your young people. But it's the Word of God being in your heart. "Then thou shalt teach it to thy children as thou walkest by the way, as thou sittest down at thy table, as thou..." What does it all say here? "Then shalt thou... And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and risest up." So it's important, you know, that we're hearing from God. And I know I preached about that in the first message, but that we're at a place, parents, and I trust we're at that place. I'm just encouraging our hearts this morning that we're at a place where the Word is being quickened to our hearts day by day in our Christian walk, in our place in the home. Now when we come to the table and have a little devotional for our family, that it flows out of the heart. "These words that I have spoken shall be in thine heart," it says, "and then thou shalt teach them to thy children." So bringing them up in the, I believe that has a major role in bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord. Bringing them up in the admonition of the Lord is that these words are in your heart. They're being given to your children just here and there along life's way. I don't believe it's often this big devotional that you parents need to have. But it's just, yes, I'm not negating family devotions. Don't get me wrong, but I believe it's very important that just nuggets of truth are thrown out along the during the course of a given day, that those nuggets of truth are just being thrown out. Those things sometimes stick more than a long expounded devotional that, you know, that your children may get. Maybe they kind of get used to and even feel sometimes like it's kind of mundane. So I just want to encourage us this morning that the Word of God is burning in our own hearts. So Mother and Dad, do your young people count you? Do your young people look at you as their best friends? I still remember of a family that moved in here from Idaho years ago, and the church out there had broken up, and this family, their testimony was that, and I wondered, you know, how do some of those families make it when a church breaks up and there they are all alone? And the testimony of that father was, we were friends. There was a knitting together of hearts. There was just a bond of friendship in all that we were passing through that nothing could separate. And that still stands out to me, you know, that they could walk through that time and have their family remain together. There was a closeness. And Mom and Dad were those children's best friends. And they didn't seek other, as I watched that family, they didn't seek other acceptances that were wrong, that would grieve a father and mother's heart. But rather, Mom and Dad were their best friends. And I'd like to lift that up this morning, that there is friendship, I believe that is primary, a major principle simply is, if Mom and Dad are your young people's best friends, they will not near as quickly go after other acceptances and loves that your heart would be grieved with. They feel accepted in the beloved. They feel safe and secure right in the walls of their own home. There's a healthy atmosphere. There's love and joy. There's blessing. And I'll get into blessing a little bit later on here. But just wanted to start with this area of acceptance. That's what helped me through my depression. That brother came to me over and over again, just said, Mel, you're accepted in the beloved. I had to hear that many, many times. And your children need to sense that and hear that as well. That they are fully accepted, fully loved and cared for. Okay, then secondly, just a few thoughts here on the second point is give them a vision. Give them a vision. I know we've heard quite a bit along those lines the last few months. But without a vision, the people perish. And I know we've heard that verse. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, it says that the word perish means they cast off restraint. Young people need vision. You know, I had to think of Jesus' disciples, and maybe I'll just turn there briefly. But Luke chapter 10. You know, Jesus, He had these 12 disciples, and He was at a place where ministry was becoming, it was a 70 here, yeah. Ministry was becoming a thing where He needed some help in. And instead of trying to do it all Himself, instead of thinking to Himself, well, I'm afraid if I give it to these 70, they're going to mess up. You know how we as fathers are sometimes, well, we'd just rather do it ourselves. But not Christ. He gave these 70 an opportunity a vision that stretched them and that engaged their hearts. And that's what young people often need, is they need a vision, something that will engage their hearts. I've been amazed in our home, just simply the young people that we have there, you know, what vision does and can do in the hearts of a young person. Giving them vision. Look at these 70. Jesus said, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. He sent them He sent them by, he gave them a responsibility. He didn't even go with them. He said, I'm going to give this job to you. He just gave it to them, and they ran with it. Sometimes your young people need that. They need that kind of trust that Dad has given me a responsibility. It looks big. I don't know if I can handle this. But at the same time, they look at it as a challenge. And the young people need challenges such as that. And here I love this parable. I love this story here. You know, Jesus gave them some commands before they went out, and there's nothing wrong with that, parents, in guiding your young person's vision, guiding their vision, but then letting go, giving them the trust for that vision and responsibility you've given them. But anyway, look at verse 17. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, these 70 they were so filled with joy after they were given this vision and it was imparted to them, and they moved and their hearts were engaged in the vision. After it was all complete, after the goal was accomplished, they came back with tremendous joy. So much joy that Christ had to calm them down. He said, disciples, you're rejoicing over the demons being cast out. You're rejoicing over the devils being subject to your name. And he just had, they were so filled with joy over what God has accomplished through them. And that's, parents, your young people need that. They need a vision. If they've been converted, give them a spiritual vision. Give them some sort of spiritual vision to reach out to and say, yes, this is something yes, it looks like a challenge, but I believe by the grace of God I can attain to it. That's what I see Jesus doing. He didn't right away give them a church to watch over. He didn't give them a vision that was unattainable, but He gave them a vision. Something that was attainable and stretched them. And it did stretch them. I'm sure it did. They were involved in, apparently they were involved in demon-possessed people that were oppressed of the devil and possessed. I'm sure this was a challenge to these disciples. I've never cast out a devil before. How do I cast? What, Lord? I'm sure they wished for their Lord and Master to be by their side. But they were stretched, and in that, I'm sure they called upon the Lord. They called upon God. In that, God worked in their midst, and they seen the hand of God moving and working to the dispelling of evil spirits, and maybe even to the healing of some sick people. I don't know, but they came back so overflowing and filled with joy that Jesus had to just calm them down a little bit. That's my heart for you parents, is that you would give such vision to your young people. They would come back having accomplished the vision and goal, and come back with such tremendous joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory, that they can be at that. That sometimes it's just sometimes you may be at that place too. Well, okay, son, that it's just so full and running over. That it might have to be calmed down a little bit. But if you get my heart, that their hearts would be so full of the abundance of joy through the vision and goal being accomplished in their hearts. But you parents are the you parents play a major role and responsibility in giving them that vision. Giving them vision and purpose and desire for their lives. And let's remember, parents, eternity. Temporal values. We've seen it on Wednesday evening. Sometimes, young people, if you may, they get caught up. The Bible says to flee youthful lusts, and we know that young people are tempted with youthful lusts. They're tempted with worldly desires and temporal values. Place in them an eternal vision. All those things will pass away. all those temporal values will one day be burned up. Give them a vision of the eternal, something that they can attain, something they can reach out to and say, yes, this is something I can engage my heart in, and I believe acquire and reach. Give your young people vision in your home of, you know, I think even beyond the spiritual, the side of young people needing direction and simply their schedule, you know, tutoring them, mentoring them, nurturing them into a good quiet time, into a good devotional life, into getting up in the morning, getting their day started right. All of those things have tremendous value. Lest I just only lift up the spiritual, I want to lift up that as well. It is spiritual in a sense. Just that you have schedule, that there's order. There's order in the home. And young people, you know, when there's order, there's security. Sometimes they wiggle and kind of, you know, sometimes there's, you know, the flesh doesn't always like to feel restricted in those ways. But young people there's a sense of security in that. Where there's order, where there's a certain time that you direct your young people to get up in the morning and go to bed at night, and your family meeting together at the table for supper, not that just one comes in at a given hour and here comes another one and they just kind of do their own thing. No, be a family. Be a father and mother to your children. Take time with them as a family, sharing together, bonding together. Being at a place where the friendship ties are just growing and the bond is just simply growing stronger and stronger between your hearts and theirs. Teach them to get a hold of God. Guide them into love for Christ through the passion of your own heart. Through the passion of your own heart. Like I said in the first message, that's why it's so important that we have the evident presence of God in our own lives as parents, that out of the passion of your own heart, their heart is captured. Their heart is drawn in. They want what mom and dad have. I mean, God is working in their lives. God is moving. I see mom and dad as their prayers are being answered. Amen. Your young people need vision. Like I said, you parents, the parents have a large responsibility in that, in imparting that vision, guiding their hearts into that vision, and sometimes letting them run with it. I still remember Brother Tanner when he shared with me one time how it blessed his heart, his father. Brother Tanner was a leader of some African teams for, no, let me see, it wasn't the Scent team, I don't think, but it was before Scent. He was the leader of some six-week teams, and I just remember him sharing, I think he shared it with me, I heard it somehow, that when he was over there leading those teams, after his father gave him such trust, now I know he earned this trust, I'm not saying trust is never earned, but there was a trust given to Tanner, and a responsibility that he ran with. And when he came back from the field, he just shared the blessing that it was to his heart. He said, "My dad, when I came back, you know, my dad never asked me even how I was doing morally, how I did, you know, did I have any struggles in that area? He knew that his dad had that trust and gave it, had that kind of confidence in his son, and the son was blessed. You know, just simply, you know, the vision was given, and he ran with it. And the dad didn't ask many suspicious questions when he came back. You know, how'd you do, son, in this area, in that area? And I'm not saying that should never happen, but all that I'm saying is the confidence that built in him as a young person. He just said, it just built in me a desire to serve my parents more. Or to serve the Lord, you know, to be worthy, to be trustworthy of this kind of a responsibility. That's what he shared. It stuck with me. Nurturing your young people in the nurture of the Lord. Remember, it's the nurture of the Lord. You know, we may get to a place where, you know, remember to keep it in the scope of the nurture of the Lord. Laughter. I mean, sometimes in our home, we have a lot of laughter and a lot of good times. Sometimes, you know, in all of that, there has to be, I have to keep it in the nurture of the Lord. And so let's remember it's the nurture of the Lord that you're giving your young people, that you're bringing them along in. Okay, number three. Bless your young people. Make your home a home where there is a continued sense of blessing. Of joy and blessing. Just a continued sense of the, where they sense mom and dad's blessing are upon me. Mom and dad's blessing. That blessing just continues to fall upon me. They just sense it in their spirit. There's a sense in their word. There's words being given in that direction. There's just a sense of blessing coming from, emanating from the hearts of the parents into their young people. Sense of blessing. They sense your smile of approval. There's a sense of the blessing of the Lord. Mom and dad are blessing each other. Positive things are being spoken about what God is doing in our home and lives. A tremendous sense of blessing that your young people are living under despite their struggles and imperfections. Despite their struggles and imperfections, there is a sense of blessing that is flowing down upon their hearts and lives continuously. They're sensing that. They just have that sense. And yes, it's being given also in action. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. Let me see, where am I at here? Verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. You know, I think sometimes we may look at the book of Hebrews here and see the mighty acts of God, and we look at that book and say, yes, Abraham, he believed God and was given a son, and because of his son there was a great seed. And we look at all the mighty acts of God. We look at the wonderful works of Noah and Moses. And that's maybe the way we look at this chapter. All faith, these wonderful works of God that we see in this particular chapter. But you know, there's a few verses here that are kind of obscure in a way, but they're here in the same chapter. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's all it's written about Isaac, except I think earlier it mentions him about being Abraham's seed, yes, in verse 18. But all the works of Isaac, all that it says about Isaac, we know Isaac was a great man of God. But it's just all that it says, all that is mentioned about him, of his wonderful works, is that he laid, I can picture him, laying his hands on Isaac and Jacob and blessing them. He blessed them concerning things to come. And let's remember Esau. He was far from perfect. Esau was far from a perfect son. But Isaac blessed him, it says. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So let's remember our young people's imperfections, their struggles, their the things they're working through. There still needs to be that sense of blessing from mom and dad. Sense of blessing coming from your heart into theirs. He blessed them concerning things to come. Verse 21, it also mentions about Jacob, even blessing his grandsons. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Again, a tremendous sense of blessing that came down as Jacob prayed. And I'd like to turn to that shortly. You can turn there a while in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. But it's very important. I believe this is an important aspect of parenting, that your children sense that continuous sense of blessing. Let's just take a look at this chapter now, verse 1 and 2, and then I'll go over to verse 22. Look at the blessing that Jacob gave his son Joseph, first of all, and then we'll go into the grandchildren. Because I believe where there is a godly heritage, the blessing of the Lord, your blessing can be given to your grandchildren. To where that blessing that is being given will have effect on their lives. Will have an actual effect. I'll show you that later, how blessing does have an effect. Jacob called unto his sons, verse 1, chapter 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." Now let's go down to verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 22. Look at the blessing that he pronounces upon his son Joseph. I mean, a tremendous, powerful blessing upon his own son Joseph. Joseph, this is a blessing that he gave him. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Look at the blessing that blessing, I'm sure, was to Joseph. But his bow, a bone in strength. You know, as you lay your hands or pronounce words of blessing on your children, it'll build their confidence. Their confidence will grow as they realize my dad is recognizing that I have spiritual strength and stamina in my life. And that's what Jacob was giving Joseph here. But his bow, a bone in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is a shepherd, the stone of Israel. Just imagine those words falling upon the heart of Joseph. My God has been made... How does it say here? It says, the arms of his hands were made strong. Jacob is recognizing that Joseph's life within it has the power of God. He's blessing him and saying, he's recognizing that power within Joseph. Recognizing there is a power of God in his spiritual arms. Through the mighty God of Israel, his arms are being strengthened. Or the mighty God of Jacob. Even by the God of thy father, even went back to Abraham. Isaac probably. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Just look at that blessing that was pronounced upon Joseph. I mean, a tremendous blessing from his own father came down upon him from the lips of his father. And I believe that's such an important dynamic in our homes, is that they are receiving words of blessing, words of encouragement, words are being shared with them. Son, you're doing well. I see you gaining ground in your spiritual life. Thank you for taking heed to my word this morning. Just words of thanksgiving, words of praise, words of blessing, words that they can look at and say, yes, my dad has confidence in me. He believes in me. My Heavenly Father believes in me. Because often the way they see you, that's the way they see their Heavenly Father. The way that they see their parents often shapes their views of God. Words of blessing have a tremendous power. Remember, blessing, death and life is in the power of the tongue. I believe there is that causes death. Words of criticism. Words of anger. Words where there is a continual negative spirit in the home. Words where they're just a continual grind, you know, of words that spill out of the parents to where The children just feel they can't do anything right. That brings death. But the other brings life. Words of blessing. Words that fall upon their ears that bring life to their spirit and souls. They feel though they hear those words. It's falling like dew upon their hearts, like rain. And growth continues to take place in their Christian walk. And please don't misunderstand me, parents. The next message I have, I'd like to get on the admonition part of parenting. But this is more of a message on nurture, bringing them up in the nurture of the Lord, blessing them. Blessing your grand. Let's go to verse. Let me see where I'm at here. Genesis 48 now. Genesis 48 verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And that's what I'd like to bring out this morning too, is the need of realizing that when you are blessing your young people, in essence, you're putting your name on them. It's brought out here. And I'll show you in another passage of Scripture. But in essence, you're putting your name on them as you bless them. And it says, Jacob said here as he blessed Joseph, let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Blessing brings multiplication. As Jacob pronounced that blessing upon his son Joseph, we know that Israel, from that generation, from Jacob's children, they tremendously multiply. And your son and your daughter, as you pronounce blessings on them, there will be multiplication in their spiritual walk. There will be multiplication. There will be growth. There will be a growth that you're even amazed at. That you look at and say, my, how my son and daughter has grown. Exceeding abundantly, above that I could have even asked or thought. That's what multiplication does often. You know, the children of Israel, they multiplied like the sand of the sea and like the stars of heaven. And that was the blessing that was being pronounced upon Joseph. Multiplication. And that's what I'd like to give to your parents this morning. Bless your young people. Bless them. Let them hear words of blessing. I believe you'll be putting your name on them. And there will be multiplication in their spiritual growth and lives. Let's turn to Numbers. I'd like you to show us I think we all know this passage of Scripture, but Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Just look at this passage. This just really struck me recently. There's an aspect here I had not seen before. It says in verse 22, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto thy sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now, Moses told Aaron and his sons to bless the children of Israel on this wise. Now listen to these words. This is what was to be spoken to the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Then look at the next verse. This is what really struck me. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. That's what really I'd never seen that before. As we bless, as we give blessing, as we pronounce blessing on our families, as a high priest of your home, Father, as a mother in your home, pronounce blessings. You'll be putting your name on your own family, on your own home. They shall put my name. I mean, they were putting, in essence, Moses' name as the leader of Israel upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I'm sorry, it was God's name. But I just saw that. I just saw something here that I realized. It was God's name was being put upon them. And they shall put my name. He was speaking to Moses. But he was bringing, as they blessed, as Aaron and his sons blessed the children of Israel. And we know Israel was imperfect. But Moses said, as you, the Lord said to Moses, as Aaron and his sons bless Israel, I will put my name on them. And I will bless them. I will bless them. So I just want to I want to lift this up high in the minds of us parents, that we're at a place of that there is a sense and flow of blessing coming out of your hearts into theirs, and pronouncing blessings upon them, pronouncing it upon them, putting the name of the Lord in your home and families, and that God's blessing will be upon your children. It says here, I will put my name there, but not God doesn't stop at that. And I will bless them. I think we all want the blessing of the Lord. You know, I started with that verse in Ephesians. Blessed be the God of our Father. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God wants to impart that to your children, that they are experiencing those all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what the next verse says? It says that ye may walk holy. Let me just turn to that. Ye may walk holy and unblameable. And as those spiritual blessings are poured down upon your children, upon your young people, it says, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's where holiness and walking with Him, with walking in Christ without blame comes from. Comes from when your young people are receiving those spiritual blessings. There's that flow of spiritual blessing. Those all spiritual blessings are flowing down into their hearts and lives, and they're experiencing them. So that the end. So that, and he brings out basically the reason, I mean the purpose, is that your young people would be holy and without blame before Him in love. That those blessings would be imparted in such a way that they that their love for Christ and their passion for the Lord and for the, you know, for the work of His kingdom, their passion is strong. Their love for the Lord is deep inside their heart. There is a depth of love in their heart that will keep them from evil. There's a depth of love there that they'll find that you'll be able to see them, see your young people walking without blame, holy, holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, that's the heart of God, is that the good pleasure of His will would be worked out in the hearts of your young people. That God is taking great pleasure in your youth because of where they're at in their spiritual walk. And a lot of where they'll be at in their spiritual walk is if they're receiving from the Lord those all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And you parents have a lot to do with if they're receiving that or not. If they're at a place where that flow of spiritual blessing is being imparted or being flowing down upon them. Okay, in closing, be a father and mother to your young people. Bring them up in nurture. Make sure that they know they're very dear to your hearts. They're accepted. They feel accepted in the beloved. You parents are beloved to them, and they feel that acceptance from your hearts to theirs. You know, the high priest, I preached a message back a few years ago, the high priest and his ephod, you know, in the, if you remember that message, maybe a few of you, but I brought out the ephod that the high priest wore. There was, I think it was only two onyx stones on the shoulder of the ephod, and on those onyx stones were ascribed the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. But then there was also stones that were down here in the breast. Says the breastplate. There was 12 stones there. 12 stones, and each stone was unique. Each stone was a different pearl or a different gem. They all had different names. And they were right here at the heart. And the high priest, I believe that was a symbolic there to the high priest bringing up before the Lord as a memorial these children of Israel, these 12 tribes. But more specifically, those 12 tribes being on the breastplate, near to the heart, love, care, affection. Each child, each young person is unique. Each young person is special. There's no partiality. Each one is dear to my heart. Each one. Each tribe was to be dear to the high priest. And continuously, that was a reminder to him that each tribe is unique. Each tribe has a special character. I'm talking about your young people now. And each tribe needs to be lifted up as a memorial before the Lord in prayers, in weeping, in praying for your young people. Do you enter your prayer closet at times and pray for your young person? Pray for the struggle he's going through. You see him going through a struggle, a battle in his Christian walk. Are there prayers that ascend as a memorial before the Lord? John, he's precious to my heart. John, he's an eternal soul. And he's going through a spiritual battle. John is a gem. He's a pearl. And he has his own unique name. And bring that name up as a memorial before the Lord. Lord, remember John. Remember Dorothy. Remember. Help them. Give them grace through their struggle, through their trial. Give them what they need in this hour of indecision they're facing. So God bless you, parents. I sure didn't mean to preach to you. I just, just had a burden on my heart. And like I said, I know we don't have children, but I felt the Lord laying this message on my heart. I trust you've been edified and strengthened, despite where we're at as a couple. So God bless you. Let's be a father and mother. Being a father and mother to your young people is the title of the message. Let us bring our young people along. Let us bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Mel. Don't be ashamed to preach the Word. You're supposed to preach the Word to us. And you don't have to have children before you can preach about parenting. Apostle Paul, he didn't have sons or daughters either and didn't even have a wife, yet he gave some very clear instructions on how to have a married life and how to raise sons and daughters. And so, yeah, we don't need to apologize for that necessarily, but God bless you as you teach the Word of God to us. It did minister to my heart hearing this Numbers passage. God gave Aaron and Moses the responsibility to pronounce the blessings on the children of Israel. And then God said that when they did that, then He would bless the children of Israel. That's good. So in light of that picture, we as parents can give blessing to our children, speak words of encouragement, and put God's name on our children, and then God will bless them. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you, brother, for sharing that. Maybe someone has a testimony here this morning, something they'd like to share. Is there anyone? Yes, Brother Aaron.
I just can't help it. The home I grew up in had such an influence on my life. And I just want to bless my dad who gave me a nurturing home and loving fatherly instruction and showed me grace and love and patience and kindness. And my dear mother, who was always there to just bless me and pray for me and care for me. And, you know, I can't help it. I'm a hearse. And people tell me that. You're just like your dad. You talk like him. You look like him. Your mannerisms are like him. And I just want to pass that on to my family. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And I'm just so blessed. And I think, you know, for me this morning, Brother Mel, I was so encouraged because, you know, our children, they can't help it. They're our children, and we have a tremendous influence in their lives. And I just want that influence to be for good and blessing. So I bless my children for their respect and honor for me as their dad. And my dear wife for her faithful labors of love. And together we're a team. We're not Aquila and Priscilla. We're Aaron and Janice.
Anyone else? I was thinking maybe there's some fathers and mothers here who feel like they don't do very well at this, or they maybe don't know how. I was just pondering that and I thought, how do we, if that's where I am, how do I go from that place to actually make this message practical? Anyone else who thinks that way? I also know that it's difficult to speak words of blessing when my spirit is heavy. When I am under the load of many things. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's my schedule. Maybe it's debt. Maybe it's difficulty with my spouse. Those things will bring a heaviness to us as parents, and we will not feel like giving blessings. And that's costly. That's costly. We can try to speak words of blessing, we know we ought to do it, but if we are in a place of heaviness, we will not be able to do it in the spirit that it needs to be done in. Our children need to see us as parents in the spirit of joy and blessing, knowing that God has touched dad and mom. And they can see that God has touched them. That's needed. So how do we go from one to the other? Maybe someone has some thoughts on that, but or anything else. Just a quick to hear yet. Is there someone? Abner?
I really appreciate my dad and just how he so gently brought me along. I remember sometimes, you know, if he wanted to show me how to do something, he would kind of get me started. And before I knew it, the job was half done. I only had half of the job to do. Half of it was left for me. And I just really appreciated his just taking me along, being right there. And I always felt accepted, even if I did something wrong. I felt that he still loved me, and I do know that there was times when I had to prove myself trustworthy, and but I still felt accepted by him, and it wasn't like just because I did something wrong that I wasn't allowed to do something else that had been a privilege now. So because of something wrong that I had done, I still felt that acceptance. And so I just really thank my dad for that.
Amen. That's key.
Yes, I was just thinking about how I'm a very black and white thinker. And sometimes I think that gets in the way. Like, if there is a situation that, you know, sometimes it's hard to bless when we know maybe there's something wrong. But I think that God is wanting me to learn how to let God work some of those things out instead of thinking I have to bring something to a head, or if I'm feeling uneasy about something maybe I think should be corrected, like right now. And I think that's where the mercy of the Lord comes in too. He's merciful to us, and I really want to grow in this and just allow God to help me to see things that it doesn't have to be worked out right now, but God can work on a heart, and it's okay. I can still bless and be kind and give it some time. So that's what He's teaching me.
When the Lord teaches us, He does it right, usually. Then you can trust that. Trust Him for that. Over here, Dan.
Yeah, I would like to amen what Barbie said. I, too, am looking for answers in this area of blessing in a time when I feel heavy, which I feel like sometimes for me it's something that happens a lot, and I'm also seeking for answers on that. One thing that I thought about already, when we were with the Amish church, there's a lot of emphasis on the lineage of from creation to, I don't know, through the Old Testament. And it was preached a lot about how Jacob, about how Isaac blessed his son Jacob. And I've often wondered, back then it was this big mystery to me, what did he do? How did he bless Jacob? So there was this story about bringing in the food and the soup, and then they ate it. But then it always just said he blessed him. I didn't know what that was. What did it look like? I wished I could be there to see, well, what happened? Okay, did he do it with words? Was it some kind of a ritual? How do you... And I guess you can just kind of tell how ignorant I was. And I guess I'm still kind of looking for answers for that. I mean, to me, it would mean that he affirmed him. He made him feel... you know, he affirmed his positive points he would point out. But I guess I'm kind of opening up here. What really does it mean to bless? Is there something I'm missing?
You could maybe check it out in chapter 27 and see what he actually did say. Because he did speak positive words. He did bless him of what would happen. He gave specifics. And then when the interesting thing was that when Esau came in, he said, I have already blessed, I've already given this blessing to this son. And he couldn't give the same thing to that son either. To the other. So yeah, look it up, it's good. And we should, as fathers, we need to learn how to speak. Not just say, well, I bless you, bless you, bless you. No. There needs to be specifics that we can give them, encourage them in. And in a sense, it's done by faith, by the Spirit of God maybe working. So, but that would make for a good discussion how that is actually done. Is there anyone else? Yeah, Eve.
I was in thankful for the thought there of how Isaac had to, by faith, bless Esau. You know, can you imagine the discouragement in his heart to thinking, oh, I've just given the firstborn blessing to the second son. And so by faith, he needed to trust God to work things out in the midst of that turmoil. And that encouraged my heart, Mel, when you read that this morning, that it was by faith that Isaac blessed Esau. So I think that can help me and help us, that in the middle of our turmoil, that it's by faith that we can bless and trust God to come through.
In verse 37 of chapter 27, it says, and Isaac answered, this is when Esau was begging for a blessing, and Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. And look at the present tense positive things that he said he already did. I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, With corn and wine have I sustained him, and what should I do now for thee, my son? Right? Right! Amen. All right, well, okay, one in the back.
Yeah, I want to thank my mom and my dad for being a huge influence in my life. I know that I'm here today because of God and through many prayers, but the encouragement of my parents. They've blessed me so many times. God has gave them the wisdom to just bless me and say, Rosemary, God has a plan for you, Rosemary. You know, you're going to be used of God, and just even you're a good girl, you're obedient, you're doing well, and just affirming me all the time, it made me want to continue doing what's right. And so I want to do that as a parent now with my children. I want to always affirm them so that they could always reach for the person that I see that they could be in Christ.
Amen. Thank you. What do you think would happen if you as a father would say to your son negative words like you're always this or always that and you're no good, and then you would say something like this, and you're going to marry some no good, down and out, thus and thus and thus. What do you think your son would do? What about if we as fathers would speak powerful, positive words of blessing to our sons and to our daughters? You will marry a godly, you know. And what if we become specific in some of those areas? I think that's what we're supposed to do, Mel. Right? Could be discussed some more, I guess. But let's take courage. Let's take courage in these things, and let's be specific and practical and believe God that the words that we speak over our sons and daughters, putting the Lord's name on that, that God will bless them. Make it. That's what it means. I believe it means He'll make it come to pass, Mel. I think that's what that means. He'll bring it to pass. All right. Is there anyone else here? Arlen?
One thing I was just remembering. Recently, we were at a seminar, and they wanted us to do a little little exercise where you were supposed to try to experience the love of God as a father. So there was about 35 men, and half of them stood up in a circle, and half of us sat down in a circle. And the ones that were standing were supposed to go around to each person that was sitting in a chair and say something, the same thing, to that other man that you would have wanted to hear as a child from your father, from your dad. And so you sat there and you heard probably 15 different men say what they wish they would have heard more as a child from their father. It was amazing. I would say probably 80% had to do with, I'm proud of you. And, you know, sometimes we think pride isn't a good thing. But somehow, each one of those men wanted to hear that from their dad, that I'm proud of you. And so I just thought of that here.
Thank you, Arlen. Go ahead, George.
One thing I thought of as you we were discussing here, the thought of what if, you know, you're feeling, you know, you don't feel like blessing. I couldn't help but to think of when God said that we're supposed to bless them that curse you. And there's times in my life I ran up against that. I said, what do I bless them? But you know, he still says, bless them. So I just, that thought came to my mind. I just wanted to share.
How do I bless them? Do I just say, God bless you? Or do I actually speak words of blessing? Okay, Rodney.
Yeah, I want to thank my parents for the way they related to us children. I can say amen to what Mel shared, having been raised in a home where there was that blessing and that encouragement. And yeah, it makes a huge difference in the way you see your life and in the way you see others and the way you see the future. And I would say to you young people, you know, as your parents do speak blessing into your life, you know, take it serious. I sort of had a direction in my life that I thought God was going to take me as far as what I would do, as far as work and everything. But my mom said, no, she sees it more this way. And for a while I pursued my own thing. But as I see my life now playing out as a man over the last 10 years, it's definitely following her path. So had I pursued that, you know, from the start, I would be much further ahead.
Mothers, you have a lot of power. Hallelujah. This is good. Is this a Father's Day service or something? I think we missed it the last 2 weeks ago. Go ahead.
I just remembered in a number of years ago, we had a child that was really struggling with slothfulness in every aspect of life. And my husband was inspired to call him Mr. D for diligent. And we just attached that to his name for a while. And I can look back and see that is who he's embraced himself to be, and rejoice to see that the Lord is blessed. And to seeing a vision for the positive, that a child that has a negative character quality can become a person of positive in the strength of the Lord.
And what did you call him?
Mr. D for diligent.
I think there's some secrets coming out here this morning that are powerful. Some keys. Thank you for sharing. Is anyone else? Okay.
I heard a story one time. I think it was a baseball player. I'm not sure how high up. But anyway, I guess he was talking in a prison one time. He was telling them how that growing up, his dad always told him, you're going to be a baseball player when you grow up. You're going to be a baseball player when you grow up. He just, you know, told him like that, and he practiced and made him practice. And, you know, he told him all the time, you're going to be a baseball player when you grow up. And he told him, well, I had no option. I had to be a baseball player when I grew up. Then after he was done talking later, then a prisoner came up to him and said that his dad told him, you're no good. You're not worth anything. You're not going to be worth anything. You're going to end up in jail one day. You're just telling him all this bad stuff, you know, that's going to happen to him. And he had no choice. He ended up in jail one day. I mean, I'm not saying no choice, but he, you know, his dad said it, and eventually he ended up in jail.
Kevin?
I'd like to give a testimony along what Arlen said. For my dad, his father never gave him that affirmation. I don't believe he really ever told him he was proud of him until he was dying. And I remember it was a Father's Day, and my dad called his father up, who was dying of cancer. And for the first time, my grandfather told my dad that he was proud of him. And it broke my dad's heart. And I was 14 at the time. But my dad determined, since I was a little child, that wasn't going to be our story. And my dad has always, even today, consistently has told me how proud he was of me. And, you know, you know, before he was a Christian, before I was a Christian, it was more along, you know, carnal lines of, you know, worldly aspirations or whatever. But then when we decided to follow God, it was, you know, he's always been proud of the steps that I have taken to follow God, the steps that God is leading me, that God has led us. And I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you, Kevin. We can see the confidence that that has brought into your life.
I just wanted to, there's two books that I have, well, I read the one and I read part of the other one that really are along this line, The Power of the Spoken Blessing and The Art of Affirmation are two books that have really blessed me in thinking along this line of blessing children or blessing others.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy church like this. This is good.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.